Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget, your family? Rocket can. And we rock it on this Friday morning on the DA Show, coast to coast, pillar to post on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, if you're in the car, your affiliate drops out, doesn't matter. Find another one. Find SiriusXM 206, your radio.com app. We're working from home. Tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, get your Twitch fingers out. Twitch at CBS Sports Radio and watchda.com. We got you covered. It's Mraz. It's Bogish. We've had a fun first 2 hours of the show, a fun final 2 hours of the show still to come. You want to know what Larry Zonka's up to? Maybe you don't, but I'm going to tell you anyway in a little bit. Plus, Stundua news you have not missed yet, Canadian bacon you have not missed yet, and, of course, a Target demo Friday where Kaplan had to go down the road, Bogish, of posting me on a Peter Schwartz covering the Super Bowl body. So it's my face on that body holding the microphone. That is your Target demo meme today at Facebook.com/TheDAShow and at Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish and at Mraz CBS. Do we need this, Bogish? Do we need this?
No, we need it. We need it. We need it every day. In fact, I think that might need to be the new logo of the show, to be honest.
So we have ghosts infecting us. Now I have that. By the way, we had a caller by the from Raleigh. I'm already forgetting. Ronnie and Raleigh or John and Raleigh?
No, John. John and
John.
Raleigh.
Ronnie and Raleigh would have been weird. And for those who didn't hear this call, he wanted to make the case that, first of all, Tom Brady ragging on him was leading us to have technical difficulties. And second of all, he was a Steeler fan in North Carolina that also flip-flopped between the Steelers and the Raiders, which is a no-go. Then became a Panther fan. All right, you deal with that. You have your own team. But now that they've rid Cam Newton, mind you, Cam Newton wasn't the first quarterback ever in Panthers history. He's got to root for the Patriots in Cam, but also root for the Bucks in Brady and not root for his Panthers anymore with Teddy Bridgewater. The ultimate disaster fan. Vinny tweets in at Mraz CBS. That caller may be worthy of, quote, this date in mothership history in a few years. I can't believe I just heard that. I live in the Bay Area and still a Raider fan. That's a guy who just had his team absolutely leave, and he's still a Raider fan. Brian tweets in at Mraz CBS. A true Panthers fan like me would also hate Brady ever since Super Bowl 38. I didn't even think of that, and it's a great point by Brian. If you really like the Panthers and lived in North Carolina, you hate them. Like, as a Giant fan, the only Super Bowl they lost, I hate Ray Lewis. I hate the Ravens. They robbed you of that ring. You got to hate Peyton Manning and the Broncos, and you got to hate Tom Brady and the Patriots. This guy, what a fraud. Nice guy. What kind of fan are you? Terrible fraud, Bogues. So we've had many tweets come in on that.
Yeah, I mean, and universal disdain for John's fandom. It can't exist like that. And even just last weekend when my Mets were dealing with another one of their at least partially self-inflicted wounds, the way they handle this whole UNS Cespedes thing and disappearing and going home and he's angry at them and whatnot, it again kickstarted the idea of, like, why are we all Met fans? How do we do this? And then people bring up the idea of, like, switching allegiance. And I don't understand how you could just decide to root for somebody else. Like, there have been times where, again, you know, you follow a favorite player, might leave your favorite team, go somewhere else, so you pay a little more attention to them, or just a team can every once in a while catch your fancy and your attention, and you, again, a little more attention. But I can't ever foresee a scenario that would make me not be a Mets fan. Like, I don't know that they, I don't know how you turn that off. I don't know how you switch. Like, I couldn't all of a sudden just go, you know what? 35 plus years of rooting for this team. I'm good for now. Let me, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a Brewers fan. Get me a Jed Jerko jersey. Tell me all about Robin Yount and all, you know, like, catch me up on what the Brewers have been up to for decades upon decades. You just, you can't do it. So, John, crisscrossing the NFL landscape, Steelers, Raiders, Panthers, Patriots, Bucks. It's just, it doesn't work like that, John.
No, you're not some kid who wants to get this favorite star, even if it's not his favorite team's jersey, and he can wear all the jerseys. No, no, no. That kid is still a fan of his team. He might be allowed to wear all the gear. I'll allow that. But when you're an adult, well, that team that's in your blood has to be in your blood, and I can't have it. If you're a Steeler fan and you switch because the Panthers and Carolina got a team, that's one thing. You can't now bail because they did Cam Newton dirty or wrong. I mean, you root for the helmet, and then to go Brady on the Bucks. I mean, so if you're a Tom Brady Buck fan now, basically you weren't a real NFL fan to begin with. So we had a lot of that, and we opened the show with Tom Brady. However, yesterday I would argue, good day for the NFL. Another not-so-good day for college football. What I mean by that is opt-outs are coming fast and furious. Now, college football didn't have the same deadline the NFL did, but obviously with the season approaching, you're going to get a lot of these college football news and guys bailing or guys deciding to stay. And in the NFL, they set their deadline, which, you know, whether you found that to be the smart thing to do or a little ridiculous is another story. On a very personal level, I will just tell you, I'm torn. I don't think there should be a deadline because if news on the virus changes every single day, the world we're living in, how can I expect to hold anybody to the feelings they had on this week if things change 3 weeks from now and the NFL still says, well, we're powering on and you already told us you're playing? I don't really think that's right, though I do understand the mindset of, you know, as a, it is your job and as an employer, they have to set plans in motion with what they have. So my gut would tell me I feel queasy setting a deadline on guys opting out, but I also understand why there is one. Okay, that being said, that out on the table. And Bogish, I don't know where you stand on that. My guess is you probably think a deadline's ridiculous as well.
I mean, certainly now. And I understand, like you said, the issues with, you know, building a roster, knowing who you're going to have on the field. But, I mean, these guys had to make this decision after only a couple of days in facilities and seeing how at least the beginning of training camp was going to work. I don't know why it had to even be just a week after all the CBA changes were locked in, which was the initial projected deadline. Then they moved it up a couple of days for various reasons. Some of them were a little annoying from the NFL as well. But, yeah, I mean, I want to say there should, like you just did, that there should not be a deadline, but because you should be able to do this, make this decision whenever you want because of new information. Now, the NFL may have no choice but to let guys go home because of new information in a couple of weeks or, you know, a month or two. There are a couple of extreme scenarios where you can still opt out after yesterday's deadline. Maybe there was a way to, like, have a sliding scale of punishment, so to speak, or, you know, a sliding scale of your, the way they're kind of paying you out to opt out. But yeah, I don't think there needed to be a deadline because everybody should this very significant decision, you should be able to change your mind. I also think that you should be able to have like one free change of mind because this, as far as I know, this is your decision now. You can't come back. Like Nick Markakis came back in baseball.
Right.
So I think everybody should also have the ability to come back if they wanted to because something changed. So, yeah, I think this is a little too stringent, a little too harsh, but the players also signed off on it. So there is only so much bellyaching right that we can do from out here.
Exactly. The players have signed off on it. And I guess the idea of a deadline, too, you do want to, in a weird way, avoid what happened in baseball with the New York Mets and a Yoenis Cespedes situation where a player ends up maybe disgruntled, not happy for reasons that probably don't have anything to do with COVID and or the team stinks. And especially in the NFL, if you don't feel like it's even worth it, if the team's going to continue to stink and you're, let's say you're 2-6 and then, oh, you know, the rats are off a team that's bad because now there's no deadline to force to go, you know what, it's not worth me playing these last 8 weeks. So I guess you're trying to avoid a lot of that. I guess we'll call it a cesspitus. So that is probably where a deadline has. But anyway, it was kind of funny watching Twitter and observe this deadline. It kind of almost felt like a weird trade deadline, so to speak, because you had rumors of certain guys. Tre'Davious White was one you mentioned earlier on the show. He has chosen not to opt out, although he did go after fans on Twitter who were basically calling him a wuss and every stupid name under the book, and he explained that his girlfriend's grandfather had died of COVID, so, you know, he's going to look out for him. And in the end, he decides to play. And maybe, perhaps, because we had some moves leading into yesterday and it wasn't his crash course, Adonta Hightower over the weekend, C.J. Mosley. Those, to me, are the two biggest names I've seen opt out. If you want to make a case for a Damian Williams or a Nate Solder, I guess. But remember, those guys were basically replaced already by first-round picks on their team, so I don't know how big an impact they necessarily would have had. So the NFL deadline comes and goes, and I think if you're an NFL fan who's excited and wants NFL football, or maybe you're a fantasy football fan, and you're waiting to see whether it's worth having a league or organizing with your buddies to have a draft, well, this deadline's come and gone, and it's kind of underwhelming the guys that opted out, and I don't think, and I think this is probably a good thing for the NFL and any fan, certainly like me, I really don't think the league is going to be impacted all that much by Donta Hightower or C.J. Mosley opting out. I think we have all the quarterbacks in place. Yes, there were a couple, like, third wide receivers, backup running backs that have bowed out. But the teams as we know them, right, and as we expect them to look, I don't think we had any major opt-outs that I think are going to shift the standings all that much. Maybe you were a big Patriot believer. I know they had a lot of guys opting out, but I didn't have high hopes for the Patriots this year anyway. I think it certainly gives them more of an excuse to be bad, and maybe because of Belichick, they could have been a 9-7, 10-6, and now they're more of a 5-11. I guess, but ultimately, I don't think in the end, as it stands because of opt-outs, now positive tests and other things, circumstances could change this, I don't think we enter training camp assuming asterisk on a winner because a team has been altered by people opting out.
No, this was definitely a win for the NFL yesterday. It would not have looked good, and if they had kind of pushed through all different hurdles, things to come, you know, a little mini outbreak, teams having to slow things down or pause workouts, any other kind of issue getting on the field while one of their real marquee names was sitting out and, you know, looking like he made the right choice as opposed to those that stayed in the league. But, I mean, it's still 66 players, Sean, and there's still some guys in there that might not have name value to the general fan, but, you know, Eddie Goldman in Chicago, a couple other D linemen are right. Significant losses that at least end up being an early mention in, like, the team's season preview. Like, and by the way, they're replacing player A because he stayed home because of coronavirus. It's sure. Not a quarterback. It's not a lead person. It's not, you know, again, to use the Steelers just as an example because they're close to mind, Ben Roethlisberger sitting out, and now we have 16 games of Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, and the entire Steeler season is different. But, I mean, it was, again, 66 players. It's more than baseball and the NBA had combined. So it's a lot of players. It's two per team that decided not to play this year. So it could have been much worse, but it also, I think, shows the level of hesitation and maybe even the level of distrust of the systems that are in place to keep these guys healthy and safe during an entire football season.
Now, college football on the flip side, a little bit of a different story. Yes, we should have Trevor Lawrence playing quarterback if games get played. We shouldn't have Alabama drastically affected. But we have some serious guys if you're an NFL draft nick in the first round or something like that, people that you want to keep your eye on teams. Number one, you mentioned Gregory Rousseau, the defensive lineman from Miami, led the ACC in sacks, might be the best defensive lineman that ends up in the NFL draft. Micah Parsons was another guy some people thought could be a top five talent in the NFL draft, a linebacker out of Penn State. Minnesota, if you watch their great story with PJ Fleck last year, one of their big playmakers who I think was ready to take a next step and be an elite wide receiver at the top of draft boards again should have been Rashad Bateman. He has opted out, and obviously we all know Virginia Tech corner Caleb Fairley, another potential first-round pick, had opted out. So there's a long list of college football players bowing out, and in the end, it may not matter. It really may not, because college football with kids on campus and trusting guys and not having a union, the college football season could absolutely crumble. Again, I have higher hopes than I once did So maybe all these don't matter that much, but there is some serious star power, and undoubtedly COVID, and when we come to breaking down a season for some of these teams, like Miami has an excuse on the defensive side. Penn State does have an excuse on the defensive side. Remember, these aren't professionals, so you know, one or two losses on either side of the ball for any of these teams you might have thought could have surprise years could really upend an entire program. It really could. And Bateman's an enormous loss, obviously, for Minnesota. And not that you would expect Minnesota, Virginia Tech to be in a college football playoff. But nonetheless, I mean, when you have guys who are first-round talent opting out, these are big blows to those programs, Bogus. So I think a much different story on the college end than in the NFL end.
Significant losses, and to me, the right decisions. I mean, if I knew any of these young men, if I was their dad, I mean, this would have been my advice to them. And it the fact that they are high-end NFL prospects only makes it, to me, a smarter decision. But if it was just, you know, a college football player who had no dreams of the NFL, like, I'd have a really hard time as a parent thinking that my kid was going to be okay through all of this, because maybe I don't trust him specifically. Maybe I don't trust his other 18, 19, 20-year-old buddies. Maybe I don't trust the coach and the school, because, I mean, college football and college athletics in general has spent our lives, basically, Sean, telling us that all they care about is getting games on the field, right, on the court, everything else be damned. So, you know, the stories we've heard from Colorado State and elsewhere of maybe people fudging numbers and discouraging tests and hiding results or whatever it may be, like, all of those things would be my concern, that I don't know that how safe this would be. But when you factor in that these kids are on the verge of cashing in the NFL, I mean, I'd almost lock my son in his room and not let him go play this misfit college football season and run the risk of hurting anything and ruining anything and making sure he is as possibly good as he can be for that next NFL draft.
So I'm completely, completely with you on this element. If I was a parent, I would look at it pretty simply, I think. For most of these players, I'm going to exclude the first-round talents because I'm actually going to put those guys on a different level. If you're just your ordinary college football player. If you have some kind of scholarship and your school is deemed well enough for all the students to come back and not do virtual learning online, all right, well, if the whole school is going back to college, then yeah, you should be going back and get your education. But if they deem it, as I think many of these campuses are going to go, where you're going to online learn, but they basically just want the football players on campus, I have a hard time stomaching that as a parent. And especially if I'm a parent of one of these first-round talents, I would say this. Look, if scouts already have you as a first-round talent now, and how could they hold it against you for sticking out? And ultimately, yes, you're a young guy, you're a young adult. This virus, in reality, probably shouldn't affect you anything more than a two-week bad illness. But I look at the Eduardo Rodriguez situation with the Red Sox and just go, he's probably going to be all right. But ultimately, you don't want to lose millions if you end up with some kind of weird condition because of this, even if it means you live and you'll be fine. Money is seriously on the line if you're guys like Rousseau or Bateman and Farley. You want to make sure you're getting that check and you go to the NFL, and what the heck do you owe it to any of these colleges to go back and play football for if that much is on the line in your life?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and you know me in general, I think we really need to put away this idea that it's going to be no big deal for college-age kids, because we've had Eduardo Ramirez in baseball, the heart condition. We've had a couple of parents now posting about how their college football-playing sons either had a really bad battle with this or in the middle of a very bad battle right now. And when you read insiders like Pete Thamel's on the show a million times, like, those stories have really spooked ADs and conference commissioners and school presidents, because to me, we're too quick to dismiss even a handful of serious complications, like any kid getting sick for weeks at a time and losing all this weight and having lung issues and organ issues and heart issues. Like, one of them is too many. So the fact that people are so quick to overlook those possibilities, to me, and plus the idea that we don't know what this will do to you at all 5 years from now. You know, you might have had it now, mild case, no big deal, and you're feeling great now and back to normal, but they could have done things inside of you that have not actually reared their ugly head yet for months or years. So, you know, the risk to me is too much in the first place. And then when you're now on top of risking just your general health, the possibility of being a first round NFL pick and the money that's involved in that, I mean, you have to play this as safely as possible. And for me, that's doing what these young men are doing and staying home. And even the idea that, like, they're safer on campus where, you know, there's protocols and testing, like, to a certain extent, I get that. But there's also frat houses and sorority houses and numbskull kids who are on that team as well who could mess things up. So, you know, they're going to stay by me as much as they possibly can. And we'll take our chances in that kind of setup as opposed to you being on a campus where I can't protect you as your parent.
So a barrage of big college football names opt out. Maybe not the big, quote-unquote, sexy list of NFL players we expected to opt out. You still got plenty, as Bogus said, but ultimately the NFL season, as far as that list goes, what you expect or the projections you might be making for who should be good and who should be bad in the NFL, probably relatively unchanged. When we come back, what has Larry Zonka been doing with his time, you ask? Well, I know, because I've gotten an email from him. Plus, we're stunned to a news. The DA Show carries on next.
Mornings, Mothership.
The biggest stage possible. The biggest stage out there.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the biggest stage out there. It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day. It's Andrew Bogish. It's me, Mraz. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. The summer of DA continues. You will get a full week of DA here next week. I bow out and head on vacation. Then the following week, I think we lose a Bogish and we lose a Pete the Body, and then it's me and DA here. So the summer schedule puzzle making as we are here on the DA Show. Fun for the whole family, but it's me and Bogus. We've had a lot of fun doing Thursdays and Fridays together. At least I've had fun. I can't speak for Bogus. He might hate me by now.
I don't hate you by now, but what's hard for me, because I'm a creature of habit, and I don't always do well with change, so I have not done my regular quote-unquote shift, I think now going on 5 weeks, whether it's been filling in for DA or even like on a smaller extent, like doing extra sports minutes. Like I have three today instead of one. I have an extra one every day next week.
Which, there's, by the way, they continue to not deem me eligible to do these sports minutes when DA's out.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the best decisions management has made. I mean, and it is surprising because usually you get everything. And the answer is always, yeah, sure, Sean this, Sean that. I'm surprised they're not called Sean minutes at this point. But yeah, they at least kept them off of your plate. They don't want to tax you. Maybe they know that you've reached your limit of output and they don't want to ask for anything more that could break you.
I think I'd crush it. I really do. Look, I'm not an imbecile. I mean, Amy does a good job. You do a good job. I hear JR doing them. He does a good job. Zach Gelb does a good job. Boomer does a good job. Mraz can slide right in there. I can handle a minute. Also, I'm not going to lie to you. Do you want to hear a little ego from me here for a second? When Sports Minutes first launched on CBS Sports Radio, they actually launched before programming 24/7 was on CBS Sports Radio. They were playing all of our affiliates. And
correct.
There were four young men that were put in charge. And I think the original Sports Minutes had like Tom Tolbert, Doug Gottlieb, Boomer was there. Andrew Bogus's landscaper was there. All of these guys were in on these.
I believe John Feinstein, who was my caretaker back then, was also involved in those. Yeah,
Feinstein was in them. So, I mean, we've had a cast of characters on these sports minutes. And as Bogus slides on Watch DA, we see the weed whacking going on. It's quite the morning of tree cleanup in Franklin Square.
Get that edging in.
There were four.
By the way, it's also
men.
Raining here, so they're cutting wet, matted down grass right now. I don't understand what they're doing, but thank them.
Why
they're here at
8:30
as well is also a question mark.
The show goes on. There were four. Now back to the longer, making a longer story longer. Four young men were part-time employees of the company in charge of like editing these sports minutes, and it was really important making sure they went out ahead of the launch of CBS Sports Radio to all of our affiliates as kind of a soft opening for CBS Sports Radio. Those men, if I tell a little CBS Sports Radio history, were a man by the name of James Ward, who later was featured on the DA show and others behind the scenes has since left. A man by the name of Mike Carver, who eventually ended up on CBS Sports Radio for a while in evenings. He is no longer with the company as well. Tommy Lugauer is a guy who works WFAN locally in New York. He was another guy. The fourth guy was me. Was me.
Oh.
I used
quit.
To, I did him for 4 months, and here I am. So here is the reason I'm talking about an ego. If they finally allow me to do a sports minute when I'm filling in for DA, I will now have my mark in CBS Sports Radio history as the first and only person to have both edited sports minutes for them to air behind the scenes and voice sports minutes for them to be played. And I think that is now my next goal within the company, to have that mark on me. So while I see you being overworked here, as we just talked about, making all these minutes, here's my plea. Give me a shot. I want to do a minute.
Well, listen, I've got an idea for two of my three today. So if you want to do a third one, I think I have the power to pass it off to you. Maybe Bilotti can triple confirm that. But nah, please, if you want one of mine, take it.
I don't want a pity minute. Don't want a pity minute at all. But you know, Bogish, who does deem me important, is Larry Zonka. I mean, I'm killing it. I'm absolutely killing it with the segues today.
That wasn't
absolutely
that great.
Killing it. And maybe the sign of a good segue is to not acknowledge when you just crushed it, but I absolutely just crushed it for the second time today. So DA did a Trash Tuesday. Jeez, I mean, it could be 2 months ago, it could be 2 weeks ago, it could be 4 months ago. The way time moves this year, I don't know when it was. But it was the idea of you end up on these generic email lists by trying to talk to somebody through a website, and then you constantly get the updates, and it's, why do we need this? And I had mentioned a while back that when Don Shula had passed away, so it had to have been right around that time, I went reaching out for former players of Don Shula to get them on the show. And one player I reached out to was Larry Zonka, of course. Who doesn't want to talk to Larry Zonka? Larry Zonka has a website. So just to give you my background of producing, I don't know how Connor Green does it. Connor Green has ended up with contacts and numbers of guys I've never had on shows before that are better than some of the guests I book.
He tries.
Because he tries. So how I...
He has motivation.
He has motivation. So how I went about it was, okay, I found a contact page on a website for Larry Zonka. I was going to type who I was, give him my company email to show that it was really official. We'd love to have you on the show. Kind of shot in the dark, hope he gets on. I never heard from Larry Zonka. Never. Not a yes, not a I'm sorry, tough time right now. All right, I took a shot. We ended up doing fine. We had a couple guests on around Don Shula's passing anyway. But within like a week, I got a random email where Don Shula issued a statement, and it was titled, "Hi, Sean," and it was a statement on his feelings on the passing of Don Shula. And I was dumb enough to think that he was personalizing that to me because of the fact that that was the reason I asked him to come on. And then by the time I got to the end of the email, it seemed very like, oh, did they just slap my name on this? So that was how I had to relate to DA. I knew what he was talking about. I ended up on some email list, like I'm in the Larry Zonka fan club. So now, you might be asking, well, where is this leading to? Yesterday, pops up in my email, my company email, an email from Larry Zonka. Again, I fall for the banana in the tailpipe and go,
yeah,
maybe now Larry's answering me, because again, the email starts with, "Hi, Sean." But it's so clearly that again, I'm looked at as a member of the Larry Zonka club. So I want to let everybody know what Larry Zonka has been doing during quarantine, because he's let me know. So without further ado, the email is titled, Bogish, "Staying Safe in Alaska." Now, if I were to tell you,
okay,
Larry Zonka's quarantining, you would expect him probably to be in Florida. Would you have ever guessed Alaska?
I wouldn't have guessed Alaska, but I think it would have been my second guess after Florida. It would have been some kind of outdoorsy cowboy setting, just because I think he's that kind of guy. So maybe like a Montana in Idaho. You told me Larry Zonka is on Larry Zonka's ranch somewhere. I would have believed you just slightly less than him being still in Miami living off being Larry Zonka.
Okay, so subject of the email is "Staying Safe in Alaska." "Hi, Sean. Audrey and I remain somewhat isolated here in Alaska. Outside of safe trips for groceries and visiting safely with a few friends outside on the patio, we're keeping busy with work and house projects and doing well. Last month, we traveled by air charter to Kodiak Island, where we met friends and Dream Trip members for 4 days of fishing for halibut, rockfish, and salmon. Pulling this off wasn't an easy feat, as everyone quarantined and required multiple COVID tests before they were cleared to arrive in the village of Port Lions. We were a small...
Did we lose Sean in the middle of his Larry Zonka letter? Again, the timing, Bilotti, the timing of these issues is startling today. It only makes sense that it's on purpose. What is going on? I can pick up right where he left off because I have the email as well from Sean, not from Larry Zonka. We are a small, picking up from their trip, we are a small group of eight who took all precautions and had a great trip. We caught plenty of fish each day, had mostly sunny, warm weather and calm seas. We're already planning next year's trip. The Miami Dolphins are officially in training camp. It appears they've set strict protocol to keep players and personnel safe. Hopefully, these protocols will be enforced and monitored, and players will be smart outside the facility to keep everyone out of danger. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Signed, Zonk. Now, I have to say, when Sean sent us this email, I was really hoping to find out that he had maybe searched the wrong Larry Zonka, because as most of us know, Zonka is spelled C-S-O-N-K-A, but it would certainly be within the realm of Sean possibilities to have just searched Z-O-N-K-A and landed on that Larry Zonka, who has nothing to do with Don Shula or the Miami Dolphins or the NFL at all, and somehow got on just a generic dude's family email list of here's what we've been doing in the Zonka newsletter. But this is, in fact, the Larry Zonka, which then begs the question, why does Larry Zonka think that everyone just needs regular Larry Zonka updates from Larry Zonka? I know he's Larry Zonka, and many people have loved him, and maybe if you grew up loving those Dolphins, you need to know where Larry Zonka is at all times. Now, me personally, just thinking back amongst the teams that I've loved and grown up following, you know, I don't need regular Tim Tuffle updates, or I know where Phil Sims is, but if I didn't know where Phil Sims was, I wouldn't need regular Phil Sims emails. Plus, I wouldn't need Phil Sims to tell me about current Giants news, like Larry Zonka finishes this letter with his current take on the Dolphins' safety protocols. I'm well aware of what's going on at Giant headquarters in New Jersey. So I appreciate, I think, Larry Zonka's thought that we all need this level of update on Larry Zonka. And he did, and looking at the pictures again, some impressive fish that they reeled in on this trip. So good for them. I'm glad Zonk is safe. And I hope he and Audrey stay safe and they get through this quarantine like the rest of us.
Oh, boy.
Now,
Bogus.
Are you back now? I was just going to throw my own update. But I guess you
guys,
and I finished the letter for you because I had it too. So I finished it, not as dramatically as you did, but I did finish the letter for our audience. So everyone is now aware of what Zonk did in Alaska with his buddies and sweet Audrey.
Thank you. So the point I was going to make at the very end when I kept reading the email, not knowing nobody could hear me, was simply, does Larry Zonka think anybody gives a damn that he
went to
Kodiak Island fishing for halibut? I mean, and by the way, Zonk, nobody's going to judge you if you went with eight people. You don't have to go over the precautions. We understand. You're seeing people in Alaska. I'm not worried about their spikes. So Larry Zonka updating me on the fishing. Thank you so much, Bogus, for finishing. And by the way, I'm off the humidity and moisture idea of it being the dryer.
Yeah, good. Okay.
I've been alerted to by neighbors just now quickly. We are having internet outages all over as we still reconnect power lines and different lines that have been going down since Tropical Storm Isaias. So just so we know, if I drop out again, it's because, well, they've picked now during the DA show to fix the internet lines when I didn't even have an internet problem, but I guess other people had them. So all these lines are connected. So without further ado, Bogus, do your damn update. Acai!
Yeah, this one is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Moist.
Another bad offensive night for the Lakers. This one with LeBron resting a sore right groin. They missed 17 of 19 threes in a 113-97 loss to the Rockets. Damian Lillard hung 45 on the Nuggets. He had 11 threes in a 125-115 victory for his Blazers. They are now just a half game behind Memphis for eighth in the West. And the Bucks turned a 23-point first half hole into a 131-16 win over the Heat. Giannis and Chris Middleton each scored 33. We're a little more than an hour away from the start of round two of the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Jason Day and Brendan Todd slept in the lead, 5-under 65s for them yesterday. Day, who most of you probably know, very good golfer, at one point maybe one of the best in the world, but has not won an event since 2018, has not contended at a major since 2016, but here he is in the lead after round one with Brendan Todd. There is a 9-way tie for second at 4-under. That includes Brooks Koepka. Tiger Woods a 2-under 68 yesterday. As Sean mentioned earlier this morning, he tees off not until almost 5 Eastern this afternoon. Now, during soundcheck yesterday, we played Brewers manager Craig Counsell on the early season struggles of All-Star outfielder Christian Yelich. They had just given Yelich a day off. He was back in the lineup last night in Chicago.
1-2 pitch. Hit in the air. Deep left field. Going back is Jimenez. On the warning track, he has room, but he drops it. And it is a fair ball, and it rolls into the corner. Yelich is around second. He's headed for third, and he's going to try to make this an inside-the-park home run. The throw home, not in time.
Jeff Levering, Brewers Radio. White Sox left fielder Eloy Jimenez actually ended up in the netting down the line after failing to make that catch. Yelich raced all the way around for the inside-the-parker. Milwaukee eventually won the game 8-3. The Royals snapped the Cubs' 6-game win streak 13-2, and Cleveland blasted Cincinnati 13-zip. Jose Ramirez home from each side of the plate. The Phillies held off the Yankees 5-4. The Marlins topped the Orioles 8-7. So Miami is 4-0 since returning, 6-1 overall. That is the best start for a team that lost 105 games or more the previous season since the 1899 St. Louis Perfectos, who started 7-0 after that disastrous 1898 campaign for them. MLS last night, the second semifinal down at Disney World. Nani scored twice. Orlando FC beat Minnesota United 3-1. They'll take on Portland for the championship on Tuesday. WNBA action last night, the Mercury beat the Chicago Sky 96-86. That's 4 in a row for Phoenix. 22 points for Diana Taurasi. And now, let's very quickly be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
We are in Australia for Stunned to a News today, but it is once again dumb criminals that really fuel this story. A small plane crashed on takeoff recently on the island of Papua New Guinea, trying to get to Queensland, Australia. It crashed, police believe, because it was carrying $80 million worth of cocaine. Now, they used the metric system in Australia, 500 kilos of drugs, of cocaine. I don't know what that is in jackalones because, frankly, I was too tired to do the conversion rate. But the bottom line is that was too much coke for their plane. If there's one thing you need to know when you're flying drugs across borders is how much drugs your plane can carry so your plane doesn't crash trying to take off with too much coke and then you get caught by the police. Arrested. A syndicate in Australia is now in the crosshairs, all because these guys overloaded their tiny plane and it crashed. They needed help, and when they got the help, everyone found the drugs as well. So these guys are idiots, and they'll be in jail for a long time, presumably.
Now, it just goes to show you, Bogues, two things. Number one, that when we think about how many fat guys sit in the middle seats of big airliners, how strong those planes must really be, because if all it takes is that much cocaína, if you will, to crash a small plane, you could be as fat as you want taking all the middle seats you want on these big jets, and they don't go down. So that's pretty unbelievable. And also, who knew that Papa Giorgiano was such a cocaine hub?
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
But it was the takeoff place for this shipment that never actually got off the ground. And again, man, if you're gonna be a criminal, you gotta be a good criminal. If you get caught because the police were just smarter, that's one thing. But if you stumble your way into handcuffs because you put too much coke on your plane in Papua New Guinea, then shame on you. I think Sean is still here.
I can't really see him,
but I can hear him. So you can throw to break with Canadian Bacon coming up next here on CBS Sports.
Canadian
Radio.
Bacon comes up next. Your day on the ice in the NHL. Will it be me? Will it be Connor? Only Verizon knows. We'll discuss next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another save.
Crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
All right, if you like round ham-like bacon, you like this segment. We start with round robin action. Your goal of the day, Golden Knights and Blues, 7:29. Left in the third period, it was a stone-cold way to break the tie.
Brouwer backhands it behind. Carlson bearing down on Falk. Stone trying to pivot loose. McNabb, a little space, feeds into the middle. Score! Mark Stone in front. Set up on the feed by McNabb. And the Golden Knights lead 5-4.
Golden Knights Radio Network. That's right, it's Mark Stone scoring to give the Knights a 5-4 lead. They would add a Shea Theodore's second goal of the game to wrap up a 6-4 win in round-robin play. The Knights, three unanswered goals in the third period, Bogish, and now the number one seed seems to be very much in mind for them as they can lock it up with a win over the Avs as long as they are not the Av-Nots on Saturday night. Player of the day. How about we take you to what I think was the game of the day, Blue Jackets and Leafs last night. Toronto was cruising along to a 3-1 lead in the third period. Then total collapse mode, choke mode, Reggie Miller with the hands around the neck. They went into full effect. Columbus scores two goals in the third period. And then they said, good night, don't let the bed bugs bite, with 1:26 left in the first overtime.
Over to John Tavares. His shot is taken away by Alexander Texier. Chips it ahead. Here's Dubois in with a backhanded shot. And he scores! And I got two words for you. Game over. Pierre-Luc Dubois completes the hat trick. And the Blue Jackets take the lead in this series, 2-1.
Bob McElliott, Blue Jackets Radio Network. Yes, that it is. And say it with me, folks. Pierre-Luc Dubois has not one, not two, but three goals in the night, making the Maple Leafs say, Luke, you are my father. If you want more torts in Canadian bacon, we are one win away from the Blue Jackets, guaranteeing us one more round of action at least. And an embarrassing exit could be on tap for Toronto in their own building, in their own bubble. Finally, somebody, Bogish, play in sync and put them back together, because we need another subversion of bye, bye, bye. That to the Winnipeg Jets, who had injuries piled up in their series versus the Flames, and now last night bow out with a whimpering loss to the Flames. Derek Ryan of Calgary had his thoughts on advancing.
Yeah, obviously the boys are really happy, really excited. Didn't want to have to go to a game five, so we want to bring our best tonight. I thought we played a really solid 60 minutes, a couple of breakdowns there, and Talb stood tall in net for us, and and bailed us out. So I thought it was a real good effort by everybody involved in this series and this game in particular. I thought we really played hard in the third, limited their chances, and showed some maturity in that regard. So really proud of the boys in that regard.
Flames look good, Bogues, and it has been since 1993 in the Montreal Canadiens that we've seen a team in the land of poutine raise the Stanley Cup. And with the Canadiens playing well but still very young, the Oilers in trouble versus the Blackhawks, the Jets now out, the Maple Leafs teetering, our best shot at that Canadian Cup champ, while these games are in Canada in his bubble format, is probably this Calgary Flame team, and maybe they carry that torch. That is your Canadian bacon. And remember, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Jeff Nelson, World Series champ, joins us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.